Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might come and anoint him. And very early, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they noticed that the stone had been rolled away, for it was extremely large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. But he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See, here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Our first verse says, when Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Many times through the years, I've heard criticism of Christianity because Christianity seems to minimize the role of women. This may have been the case at some times in church history, but certainly not in the Gospels. This chapter of the Bible is about the most important chapter concerning the gospel. Jesus was alive. And this chapter talks about the main characters present at the event. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. Three women who were in for the surprise of their lives. It's interesting. This event, the resurrection of Jesus, happened sometime between chapter 15 and chapter 16. Sometime in the middle of the night, Jesus rose from the grave. The Bible is silent. Doesn't give us what actually happened. Doesn't tell us how the life came from beyond the grave back into the body of the crucified Christ. It doesn't tell us about the healing of the wounds. It doesn't tell us what went on in the resurrection. And Mark just tells us the story of these three women coming to the empty tomb. If the Bible was a work of historical fiction, if the Bible, as many would outline, was a first century myth, there would have been other heroes to this story. It would have told about Jesus' resurrection. Peter, of course, would have been the hero. Peter would have been the first one to the grave, along with John and the other disciples. They certainly wouldn't have waited around in Jerusalem for Peter and John to rush to the grave. But that's not what actually happened. And that's not in this historical account what was actually transmitted to us about the events of the resurrection. Let's look closely at what happened in the lives of these three women. The Sabbath day was a day that was dedicated to the Lord. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was a day set aside to worship the Lord. The Lord had created the world in the book of Genesis in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. The people were to limit all other activities and dedicate that day to the Lord. God knew that if they went on with their daily activities, they would never give him any time at all. Jesus had said in Mark chapter 2 that he was the Lord of the Sabbath, that a Sabbath day was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So how do we see that day today? For us, it's a different day. For Israel, the day was Saturday, the completion of creation. For Christians, the day is the first day. It's the day of the resurrection. It's the day that we honor the risen Savior. If you look at the choirs of heaven in the book of Revelation, you'll notice the Old Testament saints on one side singing about God the Creator, while the church in the New Testament sings praise to the Lamb who was slain and who was resurrected, the first day of the week. In fact, that's why we have a weekend in America today, in the Western world today. The Sabbath for our Jewish brothers and sisters, and Sunday for Christian believers. But in our culture, what do we see on Sunday today? Football games. Guilty. Shopping. Not guilty. No. I do like to shop. Just don't ask Mona. We see one day a week, Sunday, family time. Oh, it's so important for family to be together on Sundays. That's true, but that's not the most important thing. We are supposed to give God that one day. In fact, Paul would write in the epistles that one person sees one day more important than another day. And some people see every day as just important as any other day. I'm of that crowd. I think Sunday is important, but I think every day for the Christian needs to be dedicated to the Lord. Whatever we do for the honor and glory of God. Whether it's work, whether it's play, whatever it is, we live unto the Lord. So in our culture, often people think of Sunday as a day off, not really a day dedicated to the Lord. And that's so easy in the days that we're living in right now with COVID. It's so easy not to think of Sunday as a day of worship if you're not coming to church. Not a day that is dedicated to the Lord. But even if it comes to the point again where we have to be staying home, and we have a lot of people. Someone contacted me this week and said, are we still singing? Are we still wearing masks? Or not wearing masks during the service time because we're separated here in the sanctuary? And I said, yes, that's true. But there may come a time where we'll be wearing masks or just having our service on the internet as we did when this first started. But that doesn't mean that we can take Sundays off. That doesn't mean that we should just do whatever the flesh wants us to do on the Sundays. It still should be dedicated to the Lord. We should be still giving our time to Him. These women who came to the empty tomb were serious about the time they spent with the Lord. They had left everything to follow Jesus. This wasn't just at the resurrection day. This was the way they lived. They lived their lives following him. They had, through those 3.5 years, contributed to the ministry of Jesus. They made it possible for Jesus to travel and for Jesus to minister to the multitudes. They were daily in his presence. The Sabbath represents the time they spent with Jesus. The spices represent the recognition that Jesus was the anointed one. He had taken that place in their lives. Can you see these women on the Sabbath day, on Saturday? They must have been thinking about Sunday morning. They must have been planning. They must have been talking. If it was today, they'd be checking on Google and saying, what time does the spice store open up so I can get there first thing in the morning? You know, they were talking together. They were planning and scheming about what they would do the next day. I wonder if somehow they were able to contact the people who sold the spices. Reserve a little spice for me. I'm going to need some. And the amount of spices, too. I've heard many, many pounds of spices they would have bought to preserve the body of Jesus. We want you to be ready as soon as possible. We need your spices. Have them ready. We'll be there first thing in the morning. We'll be there 6 sharp. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you have our order ready to go. Maybe they took an offering to purchase the spices that were needed. They were the people of means, those who supported the ministry of Jesus. They perhaps thought this would be their last opportunity to show their love for the Lord. I wonder if they even thought that Jesus would be able to appreciate what they were doing that day, bringing the spices to wrap his body. But they would do it anyway because of their extreme love and respect for him. The spices recommended the sacrifice that they were to make, the recognition that Jesus was the anointed Son of God. The time. Oh, you know, a lot of us like Sunday because it's a good day to sleep in, right? You can sleep. As you get older, you just can't sleep as long. I don't know. So it wakes me up early. I hardly ever have to set the clock. Most of the time on Sunday mornings, I have to run upstairs. I have the clock set for 7 just in case. I have to run upstairs usually and turn the alarm off so it doesn't wake Mona up. She has trouble getting to sleep at night. I have trouble sleeping in the morning. We're different. The aches and the pains when you get a little bit older wake you up. But there was no thought in these ladies' minds that they would sleep in that Sunday morning. They were up at the break of dawn. Maybe they had a hard time sleeping because they wanted to love on the Lord. They were going out to buy the spices. They were going down to the tomb where Jesus lay. What a shame they hadn't had time earlier to prepare Jesus' body. But now they were going to make it right. They were going to finish the job that Joseph of Arimathea started. We all know that that's what women do, right? They finish the job. The time represented their eagerness to bless their master. And then there was the stone. The stone. What does the stone represent? The stone represented that which would separate us from the risen Christ. For these women, it was an immovable object. There was nothing they could do to move that stone in their own strength. No power. The way that it was designed, at least in my mind, was that the stone, that circular stone that we see in the pictures, was above the door, was above the opening of the grave. And then when everything was finished, when the body was laid, maybe one or two people could roll that stone down into place. And it would shut with a clang, with a shaking of the ground. I remember the first time I went into jail to visit a friend. It was a jail in Utica, the Oneida County Jail. And I remember they opened the door, and there was nothing so fantastic about that. But when they shut that door behind you and you hear the lock, lock, you know that's final.
Amen.
And here, when they heard that stone roll into place and heard it hit the stopper for the stone, they knew that that was final. But somehow in their mind, they knew that that wasn't the end. And they knew maybe somehow they could persuade somebody to roll that stone back so that they could be with Jesus one last time. For us, it's our sin that stands in the way of our relationship with the risen Lord. Sin always separates. Have you ever been caught in a lie? The person you lied to finds out that you lied to them. There's distrust in that relationship. There's separation in that relationship. Sin always causes separation. Remember Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why did the Father turn from the Son when he was on the cross? Because Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Sin separates. It even separated God the Father from God the Son. And for the first time, God experienced death. Sin separates us from our Creator. Sin separates us from our families. Sin separates us from our friends. The stone was designed to roll down into place. It was to keep people out of graves. It wasn't to keep people in. There was no need. They were dead. They weren't going anywhere. You have a flimsy little sheet in front of the grave and they wouldn't come out. But it was designed to keep people out. But when they arrived at the tomb, the stone had been rolled away. It wasn't in their strength, it wasn't in their power, it wasn't in any of their abilities, it was the work of God. The work of God in their lives. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The work of God. God gave. For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is the work of God. What could take an unbeliever and make him into a believer? The work of God. What could take an unbelieving woman and bring her to salvation? The work of God. What could take a child, make him a believer, or her a believer? The work of God. God working in our hearts to give us the faith to believe. And God's doing it even today. No, we might think, oh, we can't do it. Romans chapter 8 says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No, not even a stone rolled over the entrance of a grave can keep us from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The stone that separates is the stone that God rolled away. The power of the resurrection. And so now in faith we come believing that Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, and we embrace the sacrifice that he made. We ask and receive his forgiveness. What is your stone today? What is keeping you from coming to the risen Christ? The biggest obstacle, I think, is the elevation of ourselves. For us, becoming godlike, becoming a God of our own making. And I'm talking not only to unbelievers, but believers today, because we do experience sometimes that separation. Our sin still sometimes separates us from him, and we need to come for his forgiveness and for his cleansing again. All we have to do is come. All that these women did was come to the grave. They didn't have to roll the stone away. God had taken care of that. All we have to do is come. The stone is rolled away. Won't you come to the Lord today? And lastly, the angel represented all who would go and tell. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the word for angel is also messenger. To the messenger of the church in Ephesus, the church in Sardis, the church in Thyatira, and all the way to the church in Laodicea. We, like the angels, are sharing the message of Jesus. We don't create faith in a person's heart. That's not something that we can do. We share what has happened. We are now the messengers of Christ. As these women were the first, think of it, the first women, they brought the message to the disciples and to Peter. Just think, the disciples were to be the leaders of the church. They should have been the first ones to the tomb. They should have actually have never left the tomb. But these three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, were the three who were available and who were greatly used by the Lord as witnesses to his resurrection. Are you ready to be witnesses for the Lord? Are you prepared to witness for him? Will you allow the Lord to use you to roll the stone away so that those who do not know him will be able to have a relationship with the risen Christ? Each one of us will have that privilege if we're willing to be used by God. Many years ago, my Aunt Barbara went to Providence Bible Institute, PBI, and she married the man who was top of the class, but it led to an abusive situation. And for many years, after she divorced him, I don't know if it was guilt or whatever it was, she walked away from the Lord and she walked away from the church. She had three kids, my cousin. I was the youngest of the cousins on that side of the family. Mary was close to me. She died when she was about 35 years old. So Aunt Barbara went through a lot of pain. Mary's husband was beheaded in an automobile accident. So there was a lot of suffering in her family. In her later years, according to my dad, she came back to the Lord. And the one thing that Aunt Barbara wanted to do after she had retired and after all of these things had happened in her family, the one thing that she really wanted to do was to lead someone to Jesus. She wanted to, before she died, share Christ with someone who didn't know him and see that person come to know Jesus as her Savior. She was very successful by this world's standard. She worked for Sylvania in Boston. She was one of the key people, one of the leaders of the organization. But of all the things that she wanted to accomplish in her life, she wanted to lead one person to Jesus. And before she died, she was able to share Christ with someone who trusted Jesus as his Savior. The end, the last verse, verse 9, I'll just paraphrase it. It said that they were terrified and that they didn't share with anybody. We know eventually that they did go and share with the disciples and with Peter. But you know, there's a fear. What will people think if I share the gospel with them? But you know, the greatest thing in the world is just to share what we know about him. And I've thought sometimes we make it so difficult. Sometimes, you know, oh, you got to memorize a whole bunch of verses. And you got to have your theology all down straight. You know, they went and told the disciples, and then what happened? Peter and John ran down to see what had happened. And I imagine eventually the other disciples meandered down there too, and others. Eventually 500 people, over 500 people, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, had witnessed the resurrected Jesus. So what should we do? Maybe just ask people, do you know Jesus? Has anyone ever told you how much he loved you? That he was willing to die for you, to give his life on the cross of Calvary so you could have a relationship with God? You know, maybe throw in a verse. John 3:16 is a good one. Most of us have memorized that somewhere along the way. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. That's good to have a few of those in your back pocket. If you can't memorize, my age, it's getting harder. I wish I memorized more when I was younger. 3x5 cards in your pocket. Carry them along with you. Maybe one of those little Bibles. I can't read the little ones anymore. But share Jesus. Make that a prayer. That would be a good conclusion for the sermon. Make it your prayer. Lord, just give me that one. Before I die, I'd like to introduce somebody to Jesus. Introduce somebody to you. These women, they might have thought, well, you know, I'm only a woman. And they were looked down on in those days. Jesus never did. The Gospels never did. But the culture did. And yet, they were the first ones to witness the resurrection and witness about the resurrection. And I can only assume how greatly God used them. I got some really good questions for them when I see them in heaven one day. Isn't it be fun to talk to all these people? Tell me your story. What were you thinking on the Sabbath day? What were you thinking when you walked down that day to the tomb thinking, well, the stone's going to still be there? What was it like to enter into that empty tomb and see that Jesus was gone? Oh, it's going to be fun, isn't it? To spend time with all of those who through the millennium, have followed Jesus and have witnessed about his resurrection.